Praise the Lord. You know that God's word, we need God's word in our life. We need it. And if anybody tells you they understand every word of God's word, that's, I always tell you, run, right? There's different things I've told you, that when somebody says that they've never had an argument in their marriage, you know, run, right? Because that doesn't happen in real life. If anybody's tell you that they, unless maybe you're just married in what we call the honeymoon stage. You remember that honeymoon stage? But don't worry, that does end. It does end. Those of you that have been married a while know that the honeymoon stage does end. But God has a plan and a purpose, and as we've been going through this series, Time to Grow, this is the last week I'm going to talk about this particular topic in this series. So let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. Let me get my glasses. Matthew chapter 27. As growing, mature Christians, we learn to live by this phrase, which is, things are not always as they seem. And that's the title of this message. You know that things are not always as they seem, right? You may see something one way, but it's not what it looks like. And you know how they used to say, don't judge a book by its cover and things of that nature. And I want to talk about that today as it pertains to spiritual growth and maturity. What does spiritual maturity look like? You know, first of all, we need to establish that every one of us in here should have a desire and be intentional about growing in the Lord, right? Don't be afraid to grow in the Lord. Don't be afraid. You know, some people, they're really afraid to grow in the Lord. Like, perfect example, Jonah, right? Jonah loved it when God was doing everything according to how he thought everything should be done. But as soon as God said, Jonah, I need you to go to these people, Jonah wasn't so excited about growing in that area of his life. Right? That's human nature. Sometimes we get scared. Sometimes we get scared about what God has for us. And that's the fear that the Bible says fear doesn't come from God. Right? Fear doesn't come from the Lord. And my message to you is, don't be afraid to find out more about God. Don't be afraid to dive in. You know, like that illustration when, don't be afraid to walk out of the boat or step out of the boat. Like Peter, right? Peter stepped out of the boat and he walked on water. Don't be afraid to grow in the Lord. Your sinful nature will fight that. And you know, whether you like it or not, each one of you has a sinful nature. Amen? Every once in a while, it comes out and you got to repent, right? And you got to go to the cross and ask God to empower you more and more every day. But your sinful nature doesn't want to grow in the Lord. Don't be afraid to learn to grow and to step out and grow mature in Christ Jesus. And what happens when we grow together is that unity comes. When you have Christian maturity in a church, or you have Christian maturity in a family or in a home, in a marriage, when you have Christian maturity, a heart that's mature, you will have unity and you will have selflessness. In other words, pride goes away and you become more about what's best for others rather than what's best for you. Because when a child is immature, what they're looking for is what makes them happy. What's best for them? Me, mine, right? Remember that two-year-old? Mine. Yeah. But as they grow older, it becomes more about the kids, right? It's just a natural thing, maturity. It's the same thing in the kingdom of God. When we first get saved, it's like, wow, God's awesome. He forgave me my sins. He's doing all these awesome things for me. And then all of a sudden, as you grow, you got to move out of that, and you got to be like, how can I do awesome things for others? It's not about me anymore, right? And the same thing with Christian maturity. It's not about us. It's about God's plan. And Jonah was just worried about him and whether he was happy. You know? I've learned in ministry that God isn't going to always do it the way I would like for him to do it. But I've also learned that that's okay. Because what's the Bible's very clear that his ways are better than our ways. I'm good. I hit an important milestone in my life when I came to the realization that it is not for me to produce. Our job is to plant water. His job is for the increase. As long as you're doing your best to grow in the Lord, you don't have to worry so much about results. You let God worry about results. You know, when I finally got that, it was like weight lifted off of me in every area of my life. And we're not taught that in the world. We're taught in the world that we got to be successful and it's got to look successful. And that's the only thing that matters. And we're taught in the world that if you're not successful, you have failed. And that is not what I read when I read the scriptures. Failure, I only fail when I run away from God. But as long as I'm reading my Bible and praying and I'm seeking the Lord and I'm intentional about wanting to get closer to Him and growing in Him, then I'm successful. No matter what God decides to do with me or with you, you're a success. You're a masterpiece. But when we finally just let that go and let him take over, it's a weight lifted off. You don't have to figure it all out. So growing in the Lord is so important. So as you grow in Christian maturity, we learn to live by this phrase. Things are not always as they seem. They're not always as they seem. Spiritual maturity always looks to find God in all circumstances, good or bad. So let's go a quick review as I did last week, and then we'll go to the main point on your notes here. Everyone has their notes today? All right, very good. All right. We know that quarreling and just a lot of conflict, it's immaturity, right? Wherever you have a lot of quarreling and conflict, there's immaturity there. There's a lot of mine. Right? Mine, my way, and a lot of quarreling. We also know that God is a God of order. Maturity understands to honor authority. God is a God of order, and He teaches us clearly in His word to honor authority. God uniquely works with us. Sin is not always the same for all. So we studied that a few weeks ago. You know, God is charting a course for you that's different for a course for somebody else. It is not always the same. So that's important. God gives us freedom to grow in spiritual maturity. You know, the Bible is very clear that we are free from the law, but use your freedom to do good, to love and to serve. So you know that you're free, but mature Christians don't use that freedom to do whatever they want. They use that freedom to help people, to love people, to serve people. A peacemaker shows maturity. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemaker. And we talked about that last week. Be a peacemaker. Go out of your way to make peace. And that was last week's lesson. And today I want to talk about things are not always as they seem. So the main point today is this. Spiritual growth and maturity recognizes God's potential in difficult circumstances because things are not always as they seem. So I want you to repeat that after me. Things are not always as they seem. Let's say it together one more time. Things are not always as they seem. The best example that we can go to see this is in Matthew 27, verse 32. This is the perfect example to illustrate things are not always as they seem. And that is the story of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we approach Easter, we will think more and more about His crucifixion and the resurrection. But to illustrate this point, let's go to that story. In chapter 27 of Matthew, verse 32. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. he they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink it. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there and set up his head. They set up over his head accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were the two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and one on the left hand. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him." And he trusted in God, "Let him deliver him now. He will have him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elijah." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elijah will come and save him. Jesus, when he had cried again and with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph and the mother of Zebedee's children. Now I read this story to give you the whole scene. That Jesus, when he was crucified, there was a lot of things that happened, and none of these things involved the disciples. You know, this is all about focused on Jesus, the crucifixion. But the disciples during all this time were running for their lives in fear, right? Even Peter was so scared he denied that he even knew Jesus, right? We know the story. They were in fear of that, wow, the Savior that we followed, the Son of God, he's dead. And they were running and they were scared and they didn't know what to do. And it seemed really, really bad. But things are not always as they seem. Things may look bad or things may not be going the way you planned them or the way you wish they were going. But that doesn't mean God's not in it. Amen? Amen? See, God, what was happening to Jesus from the eye, from looking at it, was terrible. It was the worst that the disciples could imagine in their minds. But God was totally in control. And he was totally in all of it. And the world doesn't understand that. The world doesn't understand. Why do you let suffering happen? Why does God let suffering happen? If he's God, he can get rid of suffering. But it is clear in God's word that Jesus had to suffer for a reason, so that you and I can live. And when things happen in our lives that we don't like, that we didn't plan, they happen for a reason. And a mature Christian will be able to step out of their circumstance and see God in everything. Amen? You'll be able to go through hard times and say, you know, and we cry and we weep and we go through hard times. We have feelings, right? But down deep in our hearts, We don't go in those hard times and say, I give up. And be mad at God. We might question God, we may not understand God, but down deep in our hearts, as mature Christians, we know somehow, some way, God is going to intervene. He's got to be in it because he promises me he will never leave me nor forsake me. See, a mature Christian can separate their difficult circumstances from their faith and believe that somehow, some way, God will make what seems dead come to life. Every time. Every time. Because that's who he is. You see, and the disciples, they weren't mature enough to handle all this yet. The disciples were running scared. They weren't there yet. We know that they struggled in this whole time. And as a matter of fact, when Jesus came back to see them, and you know, I never really noticed this scripture before, the way it was worded, but let's go to Mark 16, verse 9. When Jesus comes back and sees them, he was upset at them that their faith was so weak. You know, we know the story, right, of doubting Thomas. I'm not going to believe until I see the nail-pierced hands. Well, from a human perspective, from Thomas, his doubting Thomas's perspective, okay, you understand. But from Jesus' perspective, he's like, I've been telling you guys, I'm going to go and I'm going to rise. And I've been telling you over and over and over. And they just couldn't see God in it. And they couldn't see that things really weren't what it looked like. It looked like death, but what really happened was life. And they couldn't see it. See, immaturity can't see beyond their circumstances and their troubles. But when you grow in the Lord, you will begin to see, no matter what you go through, you're only going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. Amen? See, I really believe God wants us to grow in him in a way that nothing will stop us from the destiny that he has for us. Nothing. But it takes a mature heart that understands, even when you go through a tough time, maybe you're going through some stress, some depression, some not understanding, those things happen. And I'm going to say this as nicely as I can, but I'm going to say, you know, Pastor Green had no problem stepping on people's toes. I don't do it as well as he does. But it's time to grow up, right? And I heard that God doesn't join pity parties. He waits for you to finish, come to your senses. Doesn't go join the pity party. He is the answer. Amen. Jesus Christ is the answer. And the fact that maybe someone or you or someone you know is struggling and to the point where they know Jesus is the answer, but it's just not real. It's time to just say, no matter what I see with my eyes, no matter what I feel in my emotions, I know that God is with me and that the sea will open and that God will make a way where there seems to be no way. It's time. It's time to move beyond being stuck. And it's time to just let God wipe away all your fears and trust him. Just trust him. So in Mark chapter 16, verse 9, let's read that. Because Jesus is not happy when we don't have faith and we don't trust. And he said here, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen for her, believed not. So as soon as Mary Magdalene tells them, I seen Jesus. Remember, this is after Jesus preparing them. This is what's going to happen, right? He told them pretty clearly. And even after that, their reaction wasn't, wow, That's what he told us. That's exciting. Let's go. Their reaction was like, yeah, all they could see was death. All they could see was death. It's over. It's over. The Messiah has gone. It's over. That's all they could see. And sometimes we in our lives as Christians, all we can see is that it's just not going to get better. It's just not going to get better. It's over. It's over. It's funny, Caesar and Eloy and I went to play golf yesterday at a tournament. And not that we know what we're doing, but we tried our best. Caesar knows what he's doing, but the rest of us. But here we were playing with this gentleman that, an older gentleman, he was over 65 years old, but he was the one that was saving the other team the whole day. He was the one, his shots were always, he saved that other team that were playing against 5, 6, 7 strokes. I mean, he was just saving them. And I was telling David, wow, he's a walking miracle. I said, what do you mean? He's had 3 strokes. He's blind from one eye. I was like, what? This guy is just pretty much saving you out here today. Things are not always as they seem, right? But I thought about it. This gentleman didn't just like, oh, I've had 3 strokes, I can't see. I guess it's over for me. I better just sit home and just wait till I die. No, he's out there and making us all look bad, playing golf. Making it happen, right? Your attitude of how you take circumstances that shows your maturity in Christ. Amen? Amen? Your attitude, you know what? It's never over until God says it's over. Amen. Amen? Amen? Until the last breath that we breathe, it's never over till God says it's over. And here the disciples, he's dead. All they could see is death. This man we were playing with, golf, he could have chosen to throw a pity party and see something else. But no, he's making the best of life. Right? Make the best of the situation you're in and trust God for the miracle. That doesn't mean you give up on prayer and ever trusting God that he's going to do it all that you're praying for. But along the way, don't let it slow you down. Trust him, trust him, trust him. But make the best of your situation. Normally what happens when you do that, when you make the best of the situation that you're in, normally what happens is other people notice and you end up leading someone else to Christ because you took the mature approach and just trusted God. And the disciples, going back to the story, they were struggling. They were struggling. They saw death. They didn't believe. And after, in verse 12, after he appeared in another form unto the two of them as they walked and went unto the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Again, more people saw Jesus and neither believed, right? They just couldn't believe. Afterwards, Jesus appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not that which he had seen him after he was risen. You know what upbraided means? He was just not happy with them, right? He gave them a piece of his mind. He chastised them. I never really noticed this scripture here, but Jesus says, I cannot believe how hard your unbelief is. After I told you what was going to happen and people are telling you I'm alive, instead of you saying, yes, it came true, you're like, no, I still don't believe. Not until I see him myself will I believe. So he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not. Jesus rebukes the disciples for not believing. And remember, Jesus later on says, look, you guys have seen. But more blessed are them that are going to believe in me that will never, ever see Jesus. That's you and me, right? Amen. our faith right now in Jesus' perspective is greater than the faith of the disciples at that point in time. Because we believe, here we are in church, surrendering our life to God and trusting Him, and we have not physically seen Jesus. And they had. You know, that only happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit has shown you and led you to understand that Jesus Christ is real. And you know it. You have no doubt, because you just know, because He changed you. Right? He changed you, literally changed your heart, literally changed you. That's an awesome. That's how we know. You may have some bad news today or tomorrow, or something going in your life that's not pleasant. But as growing, mature Christians, our reaction should be always to have hope that somehow, some way, God is going to turn things around. Amen. Man, do you believe that? Amen. He's going to make a way. So what we are experiencing today, or what you'll experience tomorrow, is not the end of the story. The story never ends until God says it ends. So as long as we have breath, He's got a great plan for you, for me. Because we are people of hope. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. That first underline you have, the story is never over until God says it's over. So you can fill in that blank there. People of hope understand, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. See, now this makes sense, right? A mature Christian is able to go through hard things and still rejoice. Because the Word of God says, rejoice in the Lord always. Not sometimes, not only when things are going well, not only when I'm happy. It's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. Rejoice. You see, now, so as I've been talking to you the last few weeks about what maturity looks like in Christ, you're not quarreling, you understand God is a God of order, you know that God's working with you uniquely, you're free, you know, you understand. Maturity looks like, as we've been going through this series, my challenge to you is look down deep into your heart. Who are you? Who are you? Are you the baby Christian that just whatever you see, whatever you're going through, just, you know, you go up in your faith, down in your faith based on what's going on? Things are going well. I really love God right now. Things are going too well. I'm not liking you too much, Lord, right now. Or are you a mature Christian who understands there's going to be ups and downs in life, but no matter what, I'm running this race to win. Amen. Amen? I'm running this race in Christ to win, which means to answer His call. Amen. Answer His call. Who are you? Who are you? Very important question to ask yourself. In your own private time with the Lord, when you're at home and you're praying, you get on your knees, and you ask yourself that question, Heavenly Father, am I a baby Christian? Am I a mature, growing Christian? Who am I? And if you really open up your heart, you're going to hear from Him, and He's going to tell you who you are. You're going to know. The Holy Spirit will reveal. It's not an easy thing to do, because we don't want all the weaknesses to be highlighted in our lives, right? Right? Since we were in junior high and high school, we've been hiding all our weaknesses from everybody, right? Because we didn't want to be made fun of at school, or we didn't want to be the outcast. All of our lives, we've been hiding them. But it's when you get down on your knees and you open it up, your heart to God, and say, reveal to me who I am, Lord, and help me to grow. See, it takes a mature mind and heart to do that. And I challenge you to do that, to go home tonight and sometime this week when you pray and you set some time and ask the Lord, who are you? So once you kind of find out, am I this, the next question will be, so what are you going to do about it? Right? So what are you going to do about it? If you say you're still kind of working things out as a Christian in immaturity, the next question is going to be, so what are you going to do about it? That's the way the Holy Spirit works, right? So what are you going to do about it? How are you going to change? And you'll be challenged. And don't be afraid. That's why I started this sermon with, don't be afraid to grow in the Lord. Don't be afraid. God is going to turn things around. Growing mature Christians don't just say those words, they live them. They live these words. Things are not always as they seem. People of hope understand, rejoice in the Lord always. You know, the Bible is full of stories that prove that God intervenes for his people. So one more example in closing here. We know the story of David, but there's another example in the story of David that I want to go through as we get ready to wrap this up. In Samuel chapter 16, verse 4, if you'll turn there. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 4. It's real easy to find 1 Samuel because it's right before 2 Samuel. Some of you got that joke? That's good. If I knew where Samuel was, I wouldn't need to know where 2 is, right? That's Samuel chapter 16, verse 4. Let's read this story. It's a very interesting story. And Samuel did that which the Lord told him. He said, go find the next king, right? So Samuel did which the Lord spake unto him and to Bethlehem, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not unto his countenance. So Samuel was sent by God to go find the next king to replace Saul. And the first person that Samuel saw, he was like, wow, that's got to be the new king. He must have had muscles or something. I don't know. Good looking. And the first thing that God says, well, Samuel says, is surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. Well, you got a hint here, right? The height of his stature. That means this was a big boy, right? And God is saying, I don't want you to look at the countenance. See, God does not look at the outward appearance, right? God looks in your heart. And he could see that God was telling him, no, don't look at the countenance of his height or stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. See, things are not always as they seem. And you see this theme over and over in God's word, by the way, right? David, Joseph, things are not always as they seem. So your circumstance that you're in is not always as it seems. So let's read on. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, look at his heart. Verse 8, then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this one. And Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen any of these. Right? So David wasn't even on the list to be presented. He didn't even make the cut. Right? David was, and as far as the father was concerned, Samuel was here to see a king, and he was bringing his best sons, right? That he thought were the best. And poor little David didn't even make the cut. And so Samuel said unto Jesse, are you sure this is it? Because God told me to come here, and you're supposed to have a son, and right now there's nothing. And Samuel said, are these all your children? And he said, there remaineth one that I didn't even want to bring before you. I'm embarrassed to do so. But there remaineth one, the youngest one, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send him fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. Samuel said, I got to see him. I know he didn't make your cut, but he might make God's cut, so you got to bring him. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. I guess in other words, we would call him, he looked cute. Right? Cute little boy. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the next king. Wow. And he said, and he brought him. Now he was ruddy and withal countenance and goodly to look at, and the Lord said, arise, anoint him. Verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of the brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. You see, things are not always as they seem. Eloi, when he talked earlier during the transition, he said that the children of Israel were chosen not because of their numbers or how awesome they were. As a matter of fact, people thought very lowly of the children of Israel. But why? And Eloi said it. He read it. Because he loves them. And this is the same for you and me. God has a great plan for us, a destiny for us. Not because we deserve it, not because we figured it all out, not because of any reason that we could get pride out of or have pride about, but for one simple principle. God loves us. He loves us. So David's father hesitated to bring David before Samuel because he was the youngest and seemed the least likely to be called to do great things. However, things are not always as they seem. God does not look at the outward appearance. He sees deep into people's hearts. And that's how I want to end this service today. To ask you a few questions. So the next underline before we get to those questions. God does not look at the outward appearance. He sees people's hearts. I think you got that. But here's some questions for you to pray over and to ask yourself. Can you see God's potential in your circumstances? When you get in your quiet time, you go get on your knees. Do you see God's potential in your circumstances? Whether they're good or bad. It's time to believe. Mature hearts understand that God is in it, no matter what our circumstance. And another question. Can you see God's potential in using you to do amazing things? That's one thing I really, really believe with all my heart. Every one of you in this place is destined for greatness when you serve Him with all your heart. When you grow in the Lord, when you go and you are intentional about your life with Him, you have a good relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, good things are going to happen. The second question, can you see God's potential in using you to do amazing things? Can you see God's potential in you? Do you see it? Because if you don't see it, then you are looking at what you see with your eyes, and you need to see things how God sees them. Here's what I know. When I look out into this congregation, when I look out into you, I know this. I see a group of people that God will use to transform a community. That's what I see. Little by little, God's putting things in place. And I know you guys think, you know, sometimes you think I'm crazy. Just like we thought Pastor Green was crazy when he was going to build a dorm house and build this and build that. We're like, you don't know what you're doing. And now we have groups that come down. And it's just that same way that I thought he was a little bit off, I sometimes think you think I'm a little bit off. But little by little, this church or this thing God is building is going to transform a community. People around you, in this area, I believe it with all my heart. I get excited thinking about it, but I don't know when. I don't know when the switch is just going to go like, okay, but I know this. In order for it to happen, there needs to be laborers, right? No one man can do it by themselves. But little by little, God's putting some of you in place, and others of you, God will start dealing with you about certain things, and it'll start coming together. And when it's time, right? And we're in no hurry because God's timing is better than our timing. But I do know that God's bringing people to this place that have certain abilities, certain leadership skills, certain administrative skills, certain things that they can do, certain gifts and talents. And when it all comes together and we're in maturity and in unity, when it's time, we're going to transform a community for Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about having like a big church or anything like that. I'm talking about real impact in people's lives and their homes and in serving and feeding and helping and nourishing and meeting those needs. The church is great and is needed. And that's great. If God's going to have a larger church, that's fine. But I may be one of the rare pastors, but numbers, you know, they don't really mean anything. What means something is impact. Impact. And I get excited. And when I see you guys and I see a church, I see people that are going to impact the community for God. Not by using fancy words or having the best run church or having the best appearance or knowing how to speak the exact right words. None of that. But by having a mature heart willing to be used by God. Are you willing to be used by God? Even if that means you get a little uncomfortable. Amen. Right? Because I guarantee you that will happen. Are you willing to be used by God even if that means you'll be a little uncomfortable? A little more sacrifice of time, a little more sacrifice to serve and to love others. It takes work to care about other people. But it is this mature heart that will be empowered to transform lives. In the name of Jesus. So in 2019, it's the year to sow and to grow. And these are the kind of things we need to start sowing into, these biblical principles. And I'm excited about what God has planned, but I'm not in a hurry. I'm not in a hurry because God knows what he's doing. So as you're going through your life, let me close with this. As you're going through your life, you're going to have ups, you're going to have downs. But don't ever, ever, ever doubt like the disciples did that God is not in it and that God isn't going to make a way for you. Let's all stand. And let's pray.